live from WHYY in Philadelphia. This is Studio 2's 3rd Congressional District Democratic Primary Debate. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Today, we're devoting our program to one of the most hotly contested elections in our region this primary season.
Pennsylvania's 3rd Congressional District represents a large swath of the city, from Northwest Philly to West Philly, parts of Center City, and much of North and South Philadelphia.
It is one of the most Democratic districts in the country. And as we get closer to the midterm primary election on May 19th, it's a chance for Democratic voters to help shape the future of the party.
There are 4 candidates officially running to become the Democratic nominee. We use campaign finance data as our criteria to invite the 3 most viable candidates for this event. There are no Republicans running in this primary race.
On stage before us this hour is State Representative Chris Rabb, who represents parts of Northwest Philadelphia in the Pennsylvania State House. We also have State Senator Sharif Street, who represents parts of North Philadelphia in the State Senate. We also invited Dr. Ayla Stanford, known for founding the Black Doctors Consortium during the COVID-19 pandemic. After weeks of communication with our team, to our surprise, she opted to back out of our debate today about 2 hours before it was set to begin. The reasons given in the press statement were formatting conflicts with WHYY. We feel confident we operated in good faith.
On to our debate ground rules. Avi and I will pose questions or prompts, and to our candidates, in each round, you will be given a time limit that we will strictly enforce. You may not pose questions to the other candidate unless we specify, and we will not allow interruptions.
We'll start the debate by giving each candidate 90 seconds for an opening statement. We drew lots before the program, and State Senator Street, you'll start us off. Your 90 seconds begins now.
One, thank you for hosting this debate, and thank you to Representative Rabb for showing up. We appreciate that. Listen, I'm running for Congress because in this moment, in the neighborhood where I live in North Philadelphia and in West Philadelphia, in Germantown, in South Philly, people have needs, and they need to get things done. I have done that as a member of the Pennsylvania State Senate. I am proud to have been a co-prime sponsor of legislation that created the Pennsylvania Healthcare Exchange, Pennsylvania's Obamacare. 486,000 people receive healthcare through that. Donald Trump, through H.R. 1, his big ugly bill, the first thing he did was to attack it. We need to restore those tax credits and expand access to health care. On July 4, 2021, April and I lost a loved one. Our family lost Lala through gun violence. I'm proud to have secured $300 million a year in gun violence prevention money, over $1.5 billion over the last 5 years. When gun violence was at an all-time high, it's now at a 60-year low. And credit all the folks in law enforcement and the first responders who did a good job bringing that down. And finally, as I wrap up, my time wraps up, I will remind folks, in this moment, we need people who can work with the other side and take on Trump. I have sued Donald Trump over a dozen times and beat him every time. I'm prepared to take him on as a member of Congress.
Representative Rabb, your 90 seconds begins now.
My name is Chris Rabb, and I'm a proud troublemaker with 10 years of experience working in the Pennsylvania legislature, representing a majority Black mixed-income district in Northwest Philadelphia. I'm running for Congress forged by my ancestors' struggle for freedom and justice and inspired by my 2 sons who will inherit the consequences of the choices we make in this moment. On the eve of the 250th anniversary of our nation in a city that birthed this imperfect union, we have a real choice ahead of us. And that choice is, will we embrace shared prosperity and collective liberation, or will we double down on insiderism and establishment politics? I'm the only candidate in this race that's not backed by the establishment or billionaire-backed super PACs. That's important. I'm unbought and unbossed. That's not a liability. That's the whole point. Moneyed interests seek to silence us. I seek to give us a voice. This is our opportunity. What are we going to do with it? I ask you to consider that when you send someone to the bluest congressional district to Washington, D.C. I'm that fighter. Let's bring that Philly fight together to Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Representative Rapp.
Thank you, candidates. One more ground rule as we get into the question rounds. If a candidate makes a negative factual assertion about another candidate, they will forfeit their chance for a 30-second follow-up, and the candidate attacked will be given that time at Avi and I's discretion. So our first question is one that you'll each get 60 seconds to answer. The question is, what will you make your first priority if you win and Democrats take control of the House in the fall? We'll start with you, Representative Rabb.
Just one thing.
Or your priority. You can have more things.
Yes. We need Medicare for all. We absolutely need Medicare for all. Universal health care should be a human right. The only reason we don't have it is we do not possess the political will to make it so. People thought that Obamacare was a flight of fancy. We made that happen. People thought that we couldn't eradicate childhood poverty. We cut it in half in 1 year because of the extended child tax credit during the Biden administration. There's so many people who think we can't do things big and bold and play around the edges because that's what establishment politics does. But here's the thing. Centrism has got us to this point. So it's important that when we take office and we are in a new majority, that we push bold legislation. So let's start with Medicare for All, and I will be a co-sponsor of the Medicare for All bill, and the Congresswoman who introduced it has endorsed me.
And follow-up question to you, Rep. Rabb, what would be your strategy for building consensus?
Well, I don't think we will have consensus. We didn't have consensus with Obamacare. Not a single Republican supported it. It's not about consensus, it's about getting the majority of the votes there, a simple majority, 218 votes. So no, I don't believe there will be a consensus anytime soon. We're in too much of a divisive era, but we can work with people across the aisle who have the good sense to be on the right side of history.
All right, the same question to you, Senator Sharif Street. What will you make your priority if you win and Democrats take control of the House in the fall?
Well, thank you. Look, I think we need to restore the tax credits that are that undergird PENNY, the Pennsylvania Healthcare Exchange, something that I implemented and helped create at the state level. And we need to make sure that those 486,000 people continue to get healthcare. Look, it's great to have big ideas, but when you live in a neighborhood like mine in Northfield where people are hurting, they need you to actually deliver things. That's what I've done as a member of the state Senate. That's what I will do as a member of Congress. I will also prioritize restoring the gun violence funding cuts that the Trump administration has seized and stopped. Look, people are dying. We have been investing in these programs, these violence interrupted programs, and now is not the time to abandon them. We've actually started seeing results. People need us to do that. And the final thing I want to say, we need to invest in creating jobs. I've helped secure $16 million for programs like PTTI that are putting people to work in family-sustaining jobs. I will continue to make investments in those programs.
Thank you, State Senator. A follow-up to you is, what do you say to voters who say, you know what, Democrats have been saying that forever, they want bigger ideas? Your response to that?
Well, my response is that people didn't think we would be able to secure gun violence prevention money. We were able not just to secure $30 million as was proposed, but $300 million. That's a $1.5 billion investment. There are groups who have never received any resources who are now receiving it, and we were able to get it done. There were people who thought we couldn't get PENNY done. 486,000 people are receiving health care. To those folks, that is a big deal that they got that they received those benefits.
Thank you.
Thanks to each of you for those responses. This is another question for each of you. Again, 60 seconds to answer initially with a 30-second follow-up. Starting with you, Senator Street. What really distinguishes you from your opponents? You all share somewhat similar politics. Why should voters choose you?
Look, voters should choose me because I get things done. Look, Rep. Rabb and I share a lot of value propositions, but the difference is I deliver on ideas. I'm the only candidate in this legislation that has consistently moved legislation onto a governor's desk and made sure that people actually saw results. Pennsylvania Healthcare Exchange we've talked about. The Urban Agriculture Bill, we got that done. And people in neighborhoods are now having access to the resources for food insecurity and for growing fresh fruits and vegetables. The gun violence reduction money for job creation programs, those are all tangible results. And the reality is that people, in this moment, people need someone who can step in there and get things done immediately. Even on the environment, my clean energy portfolio standards legislation is a part of the lightning plan that's being implemented right now, helping to address climate change. It's not just ideas, it's action.
Some might note that while there are recalcitrant Republicans in Harrisburg, that on the national level, the distance between the two parties seems greater. Do you really feel you could bridge that difference in Washington?
Well, look, I don't. You don't have to get everyone. You've got to find. You got to find your folks on the particular issue. I will tell you, we've got some pretty recalcitrant Republicans in Harrisburg, and some of the Republicans who are in Washington, many of them once came from state legislators. The differences aren't that different between them. The idea is finding your spot, and then finding when to fight. And there are instances in which I told you I went to court, sued Trump because we had to win that way. But there are instances in which we can actually bridge the gap and get things
done. Thank you, Senator Street. For you now, Representative Rabb, what really distinguishes you from your opponents? Again, you all share somewhat similar politics. Why should voters choose you?
I use we a lot. I don't need to take credit for things I didn't do or things that I didn't lead. I can hold up and hold space for folks who are leading and say that I helped. When I say that I helped unionize 1,500 adjunct professors at Temple University, I didn't say I did it alone. I think that's a major difference between us. I helped with the $300 million gun violence prevention. That was through Governor Wolf. That was a team effort that included all Democrats. Any number of things, I can say I did it in concert with others, with people closest to the pain. That's the type of leadership we need. We're not waiting for saviors. Only we can save us, and that is really important. I also do not believe in establishment politics, and Senator Sharif is the epitome of establishment politics, which got us to this point. We need to have more movement-based candidates who can be public servants and have fewer politicians in the halls of power.
Some might note that in the district you're striving to represent, voters rather overwhelmingly voted for Mayor Sherelle Parker in that particular primary race, someone who has been cast by some as a member of the establishment and certainly an established politician. What makes you think there's a hunger for non-establishment politics in this particular district?
Because I've served 5 terms in that same place. I wasn't supposed to have won. The same machine that brought Sherelle Parker into power was the same machine that sought to remove me from office in election cycle after election cycle. And every time I've gotten stronger and built a stronger base, and I'm the only candidate in this race who's actually increased voter turnout. I'm very proud of that. Whether it's bringing young people on board, more progressives, others, I do it because I believe in the diffusion of power, not the concentration of power.
Thank you so much, Rep. Rabb. And if you are just joining us for today's Studio 2 episode, it is a live debate between the two leading candidates in the Democratic primary for Pennsylvania's 3rd Congressional District. And we're joined by State Representative Chris Rabb and State Senator Sharif Street.
Our next question is about affordability. In a March poll, 36% of Pennsylvanians said they were worse off financially than they were a year ago, compared to just 20% who say they're better off. What specific changes would you push for in Washington to improve the household finances of voters in this district? And I'll start with you, Representative Rabb.
We need a living wage for all. I've introduced the boldest minimum wage bill in the entire nation that expands eligibility to workers to include gig workers like Uber drivers, and also incarcerated workers who in this state start with a wage of 19 cents an hour. It starts at $15 an hour and would go up to a true living wage. It would be indexed to inflation, and it would remove the tipped minimum wage, which is born out of Jim Crow. We should not have a $2.83 minimum sub-minimum wage. So we have one fair wage moving to a living wage. And I'm very proud of that because that's something that will alleviate poverty and give people the things they need. But we also need to make sure that we have universal health care. We need to make sure that we're not paying for things that the government can provide, which is standard in most industrialized nations. There are bills that we deal with that other nations don't even have to think about.
Thank you, Representative Rabb. A follow-up. You also mentioned in your campaign materials the idea of something called national grocery stores. You only have 30 seconds, but could you add some more details on what you mean by that?
Sure. Do you ever buy liquor?
We're not going to respond to questions, but I appreciate that.
We have state stores, right? We empower our state to sell alcohol to folks, and we do it really well, and these are good unionized jobs. Imagine that on the national level, but what we're providing is good local food at an affordable price that is available to folks. We get rid of food swamps. That's powerful. It's bold, and it's doable.
Thank you. I'll direct the same question now to Senator Strait. In a March poll, 36% of Pennsylvanians said they were worse off financially than they were a year ago, compared to just 20% who say they're better off. What specific changes would you push for in Washington to improve the household finances of voters in this district?
Well, one, look, I agree we should increase the minimum wage. And I will say, talk about working collaboratively, Representative Cephas and others in the House led a push to pass a minimum wage bill that would actually provide real relief. I will support measures like that. And even if I can't get the perfect bill, I will still support those measures because I understand that the people who are waiting for an increase, and in Pennsylvania that would have been over 100% increase, don't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good. I understand we have to working collaboratively means understanding that other people will have ideas. And I will also address things like bringing back resources to expand job opportunities. I've done that as a member of the state Senate with delivering money for things like the Sam Staten Junior Training Center, which has actually trained people for jobs that will allow them to have a family sustaining income.
A follow-up, you mentioned perhaps having a bill that is not the perfect bill, but do, in theory, you support the minimum wage standard that Representative Rabb just laid out, indexed to inflation?
Absolutely. I would vote for his bill. I just question why he didn't vote for the one that the House advanced.
Could you elaborate on that?
Well, yes. Listen, the House Democratic Caucus advanced a bill to increase the minimum wage. We were on a debate stage, and I'm sure he'll respond. When Representative Morgan Cephas asked him if he would vote for it, he said no, it was not bold enough. And then he voted against it, and then apparently there was some confusion around that.
Because that is a factual negative assertion about your opponent, we want to give State Absolutely. Representative Chris Rabb 30 seconds to respond.
Thank you. We make thousands of votes over a course of a decade, thousands. And it is not uncommon when votes are recorded incorrectly because of poor communication with the whip's office and so forth. I was not on the House floor. I was campaigning. And there was a miscommunication. It was a mistake. But no one who knows my track record on the minimum wage and on the living wage has any doubt about my stance on this issue. And I often vote for bills that are far from, it's Harrisburg. Most bills are not ideal, and I've voted for it many times.
Thank you, Representative Rabb.
Thank you, candidates. Moving on. The United States' support for Israel amid the war with Hamas and now Iran has become a debate within both major parties. What would you see as your role in Congress on that issue? And we'll start with you, Senator Strait.
Well, look, we need to pass a War Powers Act. The president should not be able to unilaterally drag us into wars without any authorization. He attempted, not only did he drag us into war in Iran, he committed war crimes in the Caribbean when he was blowing fishermen out of the water. He threatened to go into Greenland. He threatened to go to Nigeria. We must pass a War Powers Act that restricts the president's ability to unilaterally bring us into war. As a member of Congress, I would support a restriction and a reduction of those powers. Moreover, I think we need to make sure that we include we need to re-strengthen our relationship with NATO. our NATO out. The fact of the matter is, in once we got us into that situation, we couldn't use Spain's bases, we couldn't use Italy. The UK was limited in their support because of this president's unilateral actions, and we need to involve our partners in the Gulf in moving forward. We should not be acting unilaterally, and we should use those resources for things, for domestic issues.
Thank you, Senator Street. And just to be clear, could you clarify your position on the war, in, specifically with regard to Israel?
I thought the war question was a war on.
Well, it was, but I mean, I'm asking a follow-up question.
I do not support the war in Gaza. I think that Benjamin Netanyahu committed war crimes, but I do believe that it will not be peace and prosperity for Palestinians without peace and prosperity for Israelis, and I don't believe there'll be peace and prosperity for Israelis without peace and prosperity for Palestinians. I support a two-state solution. I believe that the Gulf states need to be involved in a peacekeeping operation, and I think the United States should continue.
Thank you, Senator Street.
Okay. We're not going to solve it in a minute.
Yes, I know. That was a hard one. That was a hard one. And moving on to you, State Representative Rabb, the United States' support for Israel amid the war with Hamas and now Iran has become a debate within both major parties. And what would you see as your role in Congress on this issue?
I don't think it is a hard issue. I think we have to acknowledge our complicity in an ongoing genocide in Gaza. It's our taxpayer dollars that are sending bombs. This is clear. The international community there's a virtual consensus on this issue. We must stop funding Israel. This is the same Israel that wants a war in Iran. Netanyahu wants it, got Trump to get on board, and AIPAC is on Twitter thanking him for bombing civilians. Genocide is genocide. If you can't name the beast, you can't kill it, and that's injustice. We have to address this issue because this is core to our foreign policy and how we are viewed by our partners globally. If we can't say the thing, we're not going to address it.
And quick follow-up to you. I mean, what do you say to voters who see your use of certain language as dangerous, incendiary, and anti-Israel?
Well, I'm not familiar with that language. Genocide?
Yes, that use of that language.
That's not language, that's a term that is broadly accepted and understood to be the case in Gaza.
So what do you say to people who say that that's dangerous, incendiary, and anti-Israel?
I don't care what they think about a foreign nation. I care about making sure that we are acting humanely in a democratic fashion and that we acknowledge our complicity in the things that are happening with our taxpayer dollars.
Thank you, State Senator Chris Rapp.
Next, we're going to a yes-no round. We're going to ask the two of you a yes or no question. You each have yes and no signs at your places. Please hold up your answer, and then Sherry and I will ask you each a 30-second follow-up. Here is our first yes-no question. Do you think Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, should be abolished? Yes or no? You both say yes, for those listening at home. State Representative Chris Rabb, what do you see as the day after plan if indeed ICE is abolished?
Well, we got to do more than just that. We also have to dismantle the immigrant concentration camps that should have never existed. We need to make sure that we have independent courts that address asylees and refugees so that they have the wraparound services they need to move towards a path towards residency or citizenship. We have legislation in Congress right now that moves us to that goal, and that Congressional Progressive Caucus platform bill, the Congressional Progressive Caucus PAC has endorsed me. All the folks who are leading on this issue are supporting my position.
Thank you, Representative Rabb. Same question for you, State Senator Sharif Street. If indeed you succeed in abolishing ICE, what would be the day after plan?
Well, one, for sake of time, and I get to go second, I agree with what he said, but I will add to it that you need to look carefully as we recruit folks into the other government agencies that are going to be enforcing ICE, that we don't recruit white supremacists from the Proud Boys, and that we make sure that we have appropriate screening and there's appropriate training, that they respect things like habeas corpus and the fact that everyone on American soil has due process rights.
Thank you to both candidates. Our next yes, no round question is about healthcare. Do you support a Medicare for all policy that would provide healthcare coverage to every American at taxpayer expense? Thank you. I see that.
Quick yeses.
Senator Sherrese Street, what do you say to folks who say that is a very ambitious plan and that you all should just fix Obamacare? Your thoughts?
Well, I think that look, I love the idea of getting the most bold version of universal health care, but I also do think that fixing Obamacare should be a priority for Democrats. I think we can get it done, and we should, because it is providing health care at a level that is better than what's happening right now.
Yeah. And my follow-up to you, Representative Rabb, is what do you say to folks who believe that Medicare for all would create excessive government bureaucracy and put too much tax burden on an already burdened middle class?
Those are people who don't understand the bill. It would actually remove bureaucracy. It would remove players who are currently profiting from the misery of folks who do not get access to health care that they deserve, that should be a basic human right in the richest country in world history. It is also important to realize that the time between when we reintroduce it, when it passes, we will be restoring all the things that the Trump administration has sought to take away. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. It's not as though it's one or the other. We have to do all of the above.
Thank you, Rep. Rapp.
And I have to compliment you both. You're very agile with the yes-no cards.
Very good.
Our next yes-no question. President Donald Trump faced impeachment proceedings twice in his first term. Some members of the Democratic Party believe he should, again, face impeachment. Would you be a yes on impeachment if elected? And you both say yes. Representative Rabb, on what grounds do you believe the president should be impeached?
Wow, that's too long of a list for 30 seconds. But I think we have to use all the authority we have in Congress to go after all the misdeeds, all the illegalities that come not just with him, but with his thugs as well. And if we cede that authority, we normalize the types of things that he's done. And we can't go back to normal. Normal never helped average people. So we need to impeach him as many times as necessary to make the point that what he's doing is illegal and criminal.
Thank you, Representative Rabb. You have talked much in this debate, State Senator Sherrese Street, about building consensus and coming to solutions. Obviously, supporting impeachment would anger many members of the Republican Party. How do you square that with your views on consensus building, your support for impeachment?
Well, look, I think there are many, many Republicans who privately admit that Donald Trump is a criminal. And I think that they don't want to do it publicly because of fear of political retribution. I don't think that they're actually offended. There are a few. But if you look at Republican after Republican, the moment they announce that they're retiring, they immediately attack Donald Trump because they recognize the absurdity of his existence and what he is doing. And certainly we should be calling it out.
Yep. Thank you so much, State Senator.
Okay. All right, we're moving on to the Democratic Party. Congressman Hakeem Jeffries is the Democratic Minority Leader in the U.S. House. If you are elected and Democrats win control of the chamber, would he have your vote as Majority Leader, yes or no? Senator Sherrese Street says yes. Representative Chris Rapp says no. All right. Following up to you, Representative Rabb, what qualities do you think the next House Speaker needs to possess?
So the challenge with that question is, who's running? I would love to know who's running against Hakeem Jeffries. If he's the only person running, I'm going to be a yes. If there's someone worse than Hakeem Jeffries, I'm going to be a yes. If someone's better than Hakeem Jeffries, I'm going to support them. We don't know until it happens. I'm trying to win this election on May 19th. So I'm not anybody's rubber stamp. Whoever seeks this, my support, has to earn it. And I need to know that they understand that they're listening to the people on the ground who demand real change.
Thank you, Rep. Rabb. My follow-up to you, Senator Street, is what do you say to Democrats who have called, Jeffries' communication style ineffective, and they believe that it's time for a change of the guard? Your thoughts on that?
Well, one, Jeffries hadn't been leader long. Two, I think that Jeffries has been effective. But more importantly, I will say, look, as a black man, it seems like every time we get a black person in a position to make history, there's somebody wanting to move the ball, move the rail, lower the bar, change the metrics. And I think that Hakeem Jeffries has the leadership potential to become Speaker Jeffries. I think he will become Speaker Jeffries, and I'm proud to support him.
Thank you.
Our next yes-no question. We have seen bipartisan pushback on the data centers that big tech companies say we need to power an AI future. Would you support a federal moratorium on data centers until some framework is reached that protects local communities and ratepayers? Representative Rabb is a yes, as is State Senator Sharif Street. I'll start with you, State Senator Sharif Street. What would you need to see before lifting this proposed moratorium? What proof do you need to see that these centers are okay for communities?
Well, look, what I would say is this. Yes-no questions are difficult. I don't think we should move forward with anything without the appropriate framework in place. So I'd want to look at what framework is being proposed on data centers. I haven't looked at the nuances of all the federal data center proposals, but they certainly want to make sure we're protecting people's water and we don't want to drive up ordinary people's energy costs. If we were protecting the environment, we're not affecting the consumer's energy costs, and we weren't displacing people's jobs.
Thank you.
That would work for me.
Representative Rabb, are there certain conditions that could be met that would allow you to support data centers moving forward?
Not likely. What we have to understand is, irrespective of the environmental degradation associated with data centers, the increased utility bills for local ratepayers, the fact that they don't create good, sustaining local jobs after they're constructed, the fact that AI itself is deeply problematic in terms of inherent bias put in there, we also have to realize the very nature of why these data centers are created, and that is to take away our jobs. That is the single biggest reason these corporations want to have data centers, to take away jobs for greater profit. And for that reason, I don't need much more study to know that we should have
a
moratorium.
You. Thank you so much, Rep. Rabb. On to the next question. Should Congress overhaul the U.S. Supreme Court? Yes or no? Both say yes. And so my follow-up to you, and I'll start with you, Senator Sharif Street, what should the overhaul look like? Are we talking more justices, ethics, rules? What do you have in mind?
Well, you're only going to give me 30 seconds. I'm going to start with we need... The emoluments clause should be applied to Supreme Court justice. They shouldn't be able to literally admit to being taking gifts and being paid by the interests that go before them. That should be illegal for Congress, which I believe it is. It should be illegal for the president, which it is, even though he won't admit it. It should be illegal for Supreme Court justices. They shouldn't be able to get paid by the people going before them. I have others, but I think my 30 seconds is up.
Thank you. State Rep. Rabb, same question to you. What would the overhaul look like? More justices, different ethics, your thoughts?
We should absolutely expand the Supreme Court. We should have term limits, and we should definitely have higher ethics rules that relate to gifts and more broadly. Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. I think in the interest of time, we will move on to the next section. If you're just joining us, today's Studio 2 episode is a live debate between two of the leading candidates in the Democratic primary for Pennsylvania's 3rd Congressional District. We are joined by State Representative Chris Rabb and State Senator Sharif Street.
Yes, this next question will also go to each of you. You'll each have 60 seconds to respond, and it's about the state of the Democratic Party in the 2020s. What do you see as the missteps Democrats have made in the Biden and Trump eras that led to 2024 election losses and continued unfavorable polling? And we'll start with you, Rep. Rabb.
We didn't listen to our base. We ignored young people. We ignored progressives. We had ignored disaffected Democrats who wanted something bolder, who wanted more accountability and integrity. We didn't meet people where they were. We used the old playbook, top down. We didn't listen to people in communities who knew how to organize. I was one of those people. I had the highest voter turnout for Kamala Harris. We still lost, even though there were people who supported me who did not want a candidate who was not prepared to speak up on the issues that mattered to them, which included our policy on Palestine. We need to make sure that we listen to the folks who are going to come out and turn out, most notably, black women. It is the last bastion of loyalism in the Democratic Party, and I do not believe that the Democratic Party has delivered for black women. When you deliver for black women, you help society at large.
And my quick follow-up for you is, what do you see as a new message or rallying cry for Democrats so that they can build a new winning coalition?
Well, you make sure you listen to the base, and that base is wanting no corporate PAC money. They want folks to acknowledge what's really happening in Palestine. They want affordability. They want bold substantive policies, and not just tinkering around the edges. We're not going to get anywhere with the same old, same old. So we have to leave establishment politics alone and move towards movement building.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, the question to you, Senator Street, is what do you see as the missteps Democrats have made in the Biden and Trump eras that led to 2024 election losses and continued unfavorable polling?
Well, look, on the same day in Pennsylvania that Democrats in Pennsylvania voted no on our federal nominees, they overwhelmingly voted yes on our nominees at the state Senate and the state House. The same group of people on the same day. So you got to ask what was going on. What I can tell you is this. We didn't lose a single state representative, and we were net neutral in the state House. We came out with the same. We're the only battleground state where that happened. And I'll tell you why. Because we were focusing on getting things done. We were talking about reducing gun violence in people's communities. We were talking about creating jobs. We were talking about affordability. We were talking about the basic things that people see in their lives. And while the national candidates were talking about policy, and they were talking about theory, and they were talking about values, at the state level, we were talking about getting things done. And people went in the same booths on the same day and voted for Democrats in the state while they voted for Republicans at the national level.
So my follow-up to you is, do you see Democrats needing to lean further right to the left as a national party, or is a more centrist message the winning message?
Look, I don't think it's about left or right. I think it's about who's going to deal with my daily problems. In New Jersey, we saw a Democratic candidate for governor, Mickey Sherrill, talking about people's daily issues, and people would say she's one of the more conservative ones, and she won. In New York, we saw a Democratic candidate in Mandami who couldn't get any further left then, but he was talking about affordability and people being able to deal with the things that they have in life. People want you to address their problems, and they want results. That's what I have done. That's the kind of leadership I'll bring to Congress.
I'm going to ask each of you a question. 60 seconds to respond. No 30-second follow-up in this particular round. I wanted to ask you about marijuana. President Trump recently eased federal rules on medical marijuana. Meanwhile, 24 states have legalized recreational marijuana. Would you support a full federal legalization of marijuana? And your reasoning, I'll start with you, State Senator Sharif Street.
Well, thank you. Listen, I've been a leader in this issue. We have hosted a cannabis conference every year. Representative Rabb has attended, I think, every year we've hosted it. So there's some alignment here. But I helped create a framework for the legalization of recreational adult use cannabis in the Commonwealth. And we have both Republican and Democratic support. This is one of the highest polling issues. Look, there are some things that I think are important. One, I this was an issue I got involved into because while cannabis usage is roughly equivalent amongst black and white folks, black and brown people are 4 to 5 times more likely to have a law enforcement encounter. And anytime we decide that it's okay for some people and not others, it's wrong. We also know that if you're white and rich, you're much less likely to have a cannabis law enforcement encounter than poor folks. We need to make sure that as we move forward, everyone is able to participate in the income. We need to make sure that we advance social equity licenses, and we need to make sure that we do this in a way that we're respecting social responsibility, in addition to making sure that we bring down the price so that there's no black market.
Thank you, State Senator Sharif Street. And the same question to you, Representative Rabb. Would you support a full federal legalization of marijuana?
Yes. I am new to cannabis. I am a medical cannabis patient. I suffer from PTSD. And it was the only thing that worked for me for my chronic sleeplessness. And I was able to do it without getting high, which was important to me because that has not been my history. People need access to this. People already have access to this. We need to make sure that they are safe, that it's regulated, and that we don't overtax it so that working class people can afford it and not just upper middle class and wealthy people, which is the case now. We need to make sure that we use the revenues that come from adult use cannabis to address the effects, the enduring effects of the racist war on drugs. And we need to make sure that we put money into an autonomous, independent entity that provides grants and other things to address the disparities that are largely based on race, so that we can move forward and not have this puritanical view, because we're already doing this for alcohol.
Thank you, Representative Rabb. The next segment we call The Case Against You. We'll ask each of you to respond to some of the criticism you've received during your campaign. You'll each get 60 seconds to respond. And Senator Street, you are up first in this particular round.
Yeah, Senator Street, you were elected chair of Pennsylvania's Democratic Party in summer of 2022 and resigned in summer of 2025. And during that time, the party's registration advantage shrank from over 500,000 to under 200,000. And I want to ask you, how do you counter critics who say you are responsible for the party's fading fortunes in the Commonwealth?
Look, thank you for the question. When I got involved in the leadership of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party as vice chair in 7.5, almost 8 years ago now, at that time, we only had 16 out of 50 state senators. We're now two seats away from taking the majority. We were down 24 seats in the state house. We flipped the state house. We won every statewide judicial race during that period of time. We, for the first time since World War II, held onto the governor's office for a successive term. And at that time, we only had 5 out of 18 congressional seats. We increased our margin in congressional members. We had great success. Look, in 2024, because of choices, we were the last state party in the country to sign the JFA. I thought we needed to give local states parties more autonomy in making decisions. I understood what it needed. Pennsylvanians understood what we needed to be talking about to elect Pennsylvanians, and we did win at the state level. And unfortunately, the national fortunes in Pennsylvania were similar to those around the country.
And so, if you know, knowing what you know now, if you had one thing that you would change, what would that have been?
I would have pushed even harder. If I could change it, magic wand, I would have had the National Democrats talk about the things we did to change people's lives, talk about the successes, talk about what we were doing to increase the number of jobs, talking about what we were doing to make communities safer, talking about the projects that we delivered, and talking less about esoteric values and more about what happens in regular people's households. I think that worked for us at the state level. It could have worked at the national level.
Thank you.
And now for you, State Representative Chris Rabb. Your opponents argue you do not have a strong record of achievement in the Pennsylvania House, where you are neither a chair nor vice chair of any standing committee, despite nearly a decade of service. What do you say to people who question whether you'd be able to deliver on your policy priorities in Washington?
Well, I would expect to hear that from opponents. I don't think I'd hear that from colleagues who know that I've not just introduced but enacted into law 5 bills in a very small Democratic minority in my first 6 years, whether it's the police misconduct database that I'm very proud of, based on a bill I introduced in 2018, a year before the Senate version of that, whether it was the bill to prohibit law enforcement from engaging in sexual activity with women in custody or anyone in custody, that is now law. Whether it's agricultural bills that are now in law, one of which was in the groundbreaking farm bill, whether it was my pediatric cancer research funding, that's law. The First Chance Trust Fund in 2017, just 6 months after I took office, that is also law that helps provide grants to over-incarcerated communities. That's 5 right off the bat. And in addition to millions I brought home to the district.
A follow-up, Representative Rapp, but why do you think your colleagues have not elevated you to senior leadership positions within the party or a chair of a committee? Would you attribute that?
Oh, they have. I turned it down.
Why did you turn it down?
Because in order to be a chair of an appropriate committee that I had the expertise and care to join, I would need to raise money from corporate donors. I don't do that.
They made that a condition?
It is known.
Thank you, Representative Rapp.
So, candidates, in this next round, we're giving you the reins. You can ask your opponent one brief question, and please, gentlemen, ask a question. And they'll get 60 seconds to respond. Candidate Representative Rapp, you are first up this time. What is your question for Senator Street.
Let's see, we've asked a lot of questions of each other over the past 40 candidate forums. I guess I would ask, we've seen the reporting about Dr. Stanford receiving AIPAC money. I'm curious if, now that you know that you also have donors who are large donors to AIPAC, would you renounce that and give that money back?
Well, I would say, listen, I've not received any AIPAC money. I'm not going to go through a litmus test for my donors. I've not. AIPAC is clearly doesn't want me to be the congressperson, as they don't want you, because they've spent millions of dollars against us. I will say this, earlier on, I questioned your attacks on Dr. Stanford saying that she received AIPAC money. Clearly, you were right and I was wrong, so I acknowledge that. But they don't want me either. And so I don't really feel the need to start giving money back. Look, my campaign is powered by organized labor. I've been endorsed by over 40 labor unions. There are people who pick up our trash. There are people who, they're the nurses. Those are the folks who power my campaign, and I appreciate their support.
And I just want to clarify that Dr. Ayla Stanford is not here right now to defend herself, and the understanding is that AIPAC was making donations to a PAC that was funding her her campaign, just to clarify. Senator Street, what's your question for Representative Rabb?
Well, look, I would say to Representative Rabb, you know, the reality is that we do have to work with others. You talked about not wanting to be a part of the corporate duopoly and not wanting support and challenging Democrats and Republicans. But ultimately, in order to deliver for the community, we're going to have to be able to. You're going to have to work with folks. You had a great idea with the transparency bill. Ultimately, it was my bill. I was a co-sponsor of the bill with Leader Costa to get it done because he was the leader. How would you work with leaders in Congress in a way that's different than you've worked with them in the state house?
Well, we're going to have to disagree on this because I organized with Congresswoman Summer Lee and other folks in the House a nonviolent direct action to shut down the House of Representatives to demand immediate legislative action on police accountability. We were able to work with the Speaker of the House and with all four caucuses. I was in those meetings. You were not. The bills that came up that were blended together were not the Costa bill. They were my bill and former state rep Harry Reidshaw, whose name was on the final bill. We agreed that the bill that came out of the House would not be amended and would have to be voted in its entirety in the Senate. That bill that I introduced in 2018 was a year before Senator Costa's bill. I worked with Republicans and in the Senate and in the House, and we got it done, and it was passed unanimously. All of my bills, none of which bear my name, are enacted into law because I know how to work with Republicans.
Thank you, State Rep. Chris Rabb.
We now have final moderator questions for each of you. These are tailored questions, so you're not going to each receive the same question in this particular round.
And our
first question is for State Representative Chris Rabb. You have 60 seconds to respond. You have framed yourself as an uncompromising fighter for progressive causes. However, as state rep, last year you did draw the ire of some progressives by backing a budget compromise that did not include new SEPTA funding. Why did you make that decision?
It didn't include Reggie. We sacrificed $1 billion extra dollars to communities who are dealing with corporate pollution and environmental racism. We had the ability to join the regional greenhouse gas initiative that other states have benefited from, particularly communities of struggle, those folks who are the biggest victims of environmental racism. We left that on the table. It is wrong. I'm an environmental champion. I serve on the board of the National Caucus of Environmental Legislators. This is why I ran. My grandmother was a community organizer who sought to keep an incinerator out of her black, poor neighborhood. This is important. We gave that away as Democrats, and that was wrong. So I took a moral stance, and I was one of four votes in the House. And my colleague, Senator Saval, who endorsed me, was a no vote as well. We need to stand up, even if we're not going to change the outcome, and let people know that we're fighting for them.
Thank you, Representative Rabb.
Yeah, Senator Street, you've built a long career inside the Democratic Party, and now you're backed by major endorsements from party leadership, labor, and the mayor. But there's a growing frustration among voters who feel like the Democratic establishment just has not delivered. So what do you say to voters who look at your candidacy and see more of the same political machine rather than the kind of change that they believe that this moment demands?
Look, I would say that it depends on who you talk about as sort of folks who are frustrated. When gun violence survivors were wanting resources to stop the killing and the violence, look, they're not the ones who have the biggest social media platforms or get the TV attention. But those mothers and fathers, they backed me. People like, it's not just the mayor, and I'm proud to have the mayor support and party support. People like Dorothy Johnson Spite, who's been pulling together women who have who've lost loved ones. When folks like Daryl Shuler, who've been on the streets trying to stop gun violence, talking to people who are the shooters, they back me. Ordinary people who are in the hood working on issues that otherwise get ignored, they have consistently backed me, and they will. And so, yes, we built a coalition that includes people who are completely ignored. And we have also shown that we have the backing of the folks that will allow me to get things done, and they back me because I actually deliver.
And so, in the interest of time, I'm going to jump to this question. In Dr. Ayla Stanford's statement, when saying she was dropping out of our debate today, she referenced that, quote, "This race has been marred by misogynistic attacks and lies from both of my opponents. That conduct has no place in our politics, and it must end." And I want to get your response, each of your response to that statement. And I want to start with you, State Representative Rabb.
In the last candidate form, or there's so many, Dr. Stanford was heckled repeatedly. If you hear on that very popular video who was saying, "Let the sister speak," that was me. Even though we do not agree on a number of issues, we need to make sure that we respect each other. That's important. And how this shows up in terms of racial and gender politics and the dynamics around that is very important. So in that moment, even though you could say it benefited me politically, I raised my voice multiple times because I didn't think it was right. I have not been accused of misogyny by anyone. I don't know what she's referring to. I don't know what you're referring to. But I do know that I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for Black women. And I've shown up in matters that are important because I know that men are overrepresented in the halls of power. So we have to use our privilege to talk about misogyny, patriarchy,
Thank you,
and sexism.
Sir. And I want to make sure that I read that question and statement again for you, Senator Street, and Dr. Ayla Stanford's statement when saying she was dropping out of our debate today. She referenced that, quote, "This race has been marred by misogynistic attacks and lies from both of my opponents. That conduct has no place in our politics, and that it must end." What's your response to that statement, sir?
Well, listen, I haven't, and my campaign has not been attacking Dr. Stanford. As a matter of fact, the most intense moment I had with Rep. Rabb was, in fact, defending her at a debate because I thought at the time he was saying things for which he could not deliver proof, which he has subsequently done. I defended her vociferously because it was my instinct. That being said, I'm not sure what she's talking about. I haven't attacked her at all. I've not given any instructions to it. My red box doesn't say nothing about attack her. We're not attacking her. That's just not something we've done. She has been attacked. I've been attacked. Everybody on this campaign, I'm sure, has been attacked at some point. I've been attacked pretty intensely. That being said, I don't know what she's talking about with respect to my attacking her, although I've seen her be attacked.
Thank you, sir.
We are now moving on to closing statements. You each have 60 seconds. We begin with you, State Representative Chris Rabb.
I come before you today rooted in collective struggle and a legacy of resistance. My 16 great-great-grandparents, all born where slavery was the state law, they didn't wait for permission to fight for their freedom. They organized, they sacrificed, they bled for justice, and I carry every single one of them with me into this race. That's why I see, when I see genocide, I call it genocide when I see children in Philly losing access to education. I don't look the other way. I call it what it is, educational apartheid, and introduce bills to address it. I don't check with rich folks. I don't ask the party insiders what they think. I speak truth to power, even when it's uncomfortable, because you can't kill the demon until you have the courage to name it. That demon is injustice, and it must be fought for on every front. Principle is more important than politics. I'm ready to bring that fight to Congress, and I hope that you will join me. Please go to chrisrab.com.
Thank you so much, State Senator Sharif Street. Your closing statement.
Look, I thank you. When folks were dying in the community, they didn't just want to hear speeches. They wanted us to deliver something. So I worked with Democrats and Republicans and delivered $300 million a year in structural funding, $1.5 million. Yes, I worked with the mayor, pushed the money out. And now gun violence went from an all-time high to a 60-year low. When it came to talking about health care, I didn't just talk about big ideas, but I actually delivered. 486,000 people receive health care through the Pennsylvania Healthcare Exchange. Pennsylvania's Obamacare. And we and those folks are actually getting health care now. And as a congressman, I will fight to protect it. And when it comes to standing up to Donald Trump, it wasn't just a bunch of speeches. It wasn't just I took him to court when he tried to get rid of drop boxes, when he tried to get rid of early voting. I took him to court and I beat him every time, over a dozen times. I have a history of winning against him, and I will do it as a member of Congress.
Thank you, Senator Street and State Rep Chris Rabin. Thank you all for joining us on Studio 2.